Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the program today, Paul Enos and I talk with State Senator James Selmayr for the whole show on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
Your business workers' comp company should be your partner. The Pro Group customer care team brings you effective risk management training, support, and web tools at no extra cost to you. We maximize the safety of your employees and business every day. Pro Group is with you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, with information and resources at your fingertips. We ensure your employees' safety and that your premium's in line. When you're a Pro Group member, you have the team that's looking out for you. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. Call for a no-obligation quote today.
Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. We represent the key component of Governor Sandoval's New Nevada, economic diversification through economic development. National competition demands we must maintain this momentum because newly developing industries require creative solutions. The things you do today will affect our tomorrow. Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, building economic prosperity for Nevadans.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
Closed captioning of Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Nevada Trucking Association. Trucking moves America forward. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're pleased to welcome back to the program State Senator James Selmayr. Pleasure to have you back on the program, sir.
Pleasure to be here, Sam. Thank you.
All right, so post-session, your thoughts on what was ultimately passed as a commerce tax?
You know, myself, I didn't necessarily agree with the commerce tax. I looked at it as a form of a gross receipts. You know, it was only about $60 million. To me, we could have found that amount of money elsewhere. The majority of the businesses were okay with the concept of the amount of money. It was just a question of where the money came from.
And what other way would you have preferred to raise that money?
Well, other individuals were looking at the concept of the modified business tax, lowering the rate even lower than the $50,000 per quarter, you know, maybe going to like $25,000 a quarter. People were talking about raising the rate up from, I think it went to 1.47. Some people were talking about 1.50 would be sufficient enough. So there are a myriad of different ways to get that amount of money without having to do the other commerce tax.
Okay, but the beef against that was that it still wasn't spreading the tax widely enough. Mm-hmm.
And if you look at the concept of even the business license fee, you know, at $200 now, even if you raise that a couple bucks, wouldn't that be wide enough? You know, there's different ways to look at it to try to spread it.
And what do you think about the $500 fee for corporations?
Well, as a corporation,
because there are some small,
they're against it. So, but you know, it's understandable. You know, for the concept that you're trying to take advantage of the laws of the state of Nevada as a corporation, that you need to have a little bit higher cost. I wasn't necessarily in favor of that. I wasn't necessarily against it, though.
Do you feel it's disingenuous when we call the commerce tax broad-based when the reality is you only get revenue from 90% of the businesses? Now, we are going to collect data from everybody. Everybody's going to have to fill out a form, go to their accountant, determine what their pass-through revenue is. But we talk about broadening the base. We're only taxing 10% of those businesses with the commerce tax. That's who we're hitting. Do you think that's disingenuous?
Well, you know, the concept that I think is more important is that information that you discussed and the idea of having to do that. I, as a small business, I'm going to have to redo my books in June.
And you're a rancher. We should
correct. I'm a rancher. So I'll have to look at it in June. What's interesting is because we didn't want to run afoul of the Interstate Commerce Clause, we have to subtract then all your revenue from out of state. Well, I sell my cattle out of state, as many ranchers do, either in Idaho or California. So I'll have to go in and look at it, and I assume when they see that my income versus my expenses is like a 10-to-1 ratio in the negative, I'll probably get audited, I assume. So, but you're going to have to look at a fair amount more workers than the Nevada Department of Taxation and the collection of the data.
$1.2 million is what they budgeted. Do you think that's going to be enough, or do you think we're going to see the Department of Tax coming back to IFC or coming back to you guys next legislative session and saying, we need a budget increase?
You know, so far the Department of Taxation has usually been pretty good about that, not being the ones coming forward asking for more, but this is a new era for them, so who knows what they're going to need to do. I wouldn't be surprised by anybody coming into IFC and asking for more money. That's kind of traditionally how it works.
You know, what I've asked several times on this program since the session ended is, how will the public feel the effects of this commerce tax?
I think that you'll see some increases in cost of goods and services as businesses traditionally, as always, pass it through. There'll be some smaller businesses that cannot afford it, and therefore they'll decide just not to do it. And it's not just the commerce tax, it's all the taxes that were passed as a package, because some businesses may decide it's safer to just, or easier, to disincorporate, no longer be a corporation. That way not have to pay $500 and just go back to paying $200 if they're a business that's not, that's working on very thin margins, or a business that is kind of dwindling down. You know, many of us have had businesses earlier in their life, and you keep them going, and all of a sudden a tax increase goes along, and you're like, well, I really don't need that business anymore.
But do you think we're going to see the price of automobiles rise significantly? Do you think the cost of buying groceries is going to go up significantly?
I think those costs will be passed through on those larger corporations.
But will the public notice it is my question, really.
Traditionally, people don't necessarily notice it in the past, yeah, usually because they're small, but they do occur. So it's not like they're going to see a $500 grocery increase in a year. So they will have an increase. It's the same thing that happens when the minimum wage goes up. You know, the price of your Big Mac or your price of your Big Gulp goes up. When the price of gas goes up, interesting enough, or the price of oil, what traditionally happens is the price of your drink and your candy bar go up, not the price of gas. They hold that constant, but they just raise everything else in the convenience store.
So let's talk a little bit about this. You know, we hear about opportunity costs, and I'm hearing from some of my members who, you know, it's really going to be dependent on what happens with these regulations, you know, how the regulations work, whether they're going to grow their business in Nevada or move it to another state like Arizona. We've done so much with economic development, trying to reach out and say, hey, we're a great place to do business. Do you think that there's any opportunity costs from the passage of a commerce tax?
There always are opportunity costs from passage of any tax or any legislative session. You know, anytime you do a new law or new rule or regulation, it affects whether or not a business decides to move to the state of Nevada, or it pushes them further to the concept of moving out of the country or moving out of the state. So that'll always occur. I try to hope that you look at all the other things that were accomplished during the session, the good things, the reforms that were done, and hopefully that will make a business.
Well, let's talk about those, because one of the things that we heard was, hey, we're going to make it cheaper for business to operate. We're going to fix things like collective bargaining. We're going to fix some of these issues that cost more at the local government. We're going to fix tort reform. Now, hey, I will give you some credit. We've got some great reforms on independent contractor. We've got some reforms on workers' comp, not as much as a lot of us would like. But some of those reforms were vetoed by the governor.
There are a few that were vetoed by the governor. If you look at the overall reforms, though, there was more reforms passed in this one session than my entire 8 years prior. So in that respect, you know, we've instrumentally moved down the road. I had a bill, Senate Bill 168, that deals with Chapter 288 collective bargaining reform that actually defines a fiscal emergency and allows the county to have a reserve fund. And that bill, you know, successfully was signed by the governor. These are the type of bills that will help out. There are bills that dictate that now if there's a collective bargaining agreement, it actually has to be published for 3 days prior to a county commissioner's actually voting on it. You know, we've been talking about these reforms for 8 years. We've moved prevailing wage. I actually preferred the original one that took it off all school construction. In the end, it got changed, though, and took it from $100,000 exemption level to $250,000 exemption level. You know, the highest, I think, in the United States is $350,000. So we've seen some wonderful gains in the form of reforms. As much as I wished, not necessarily, but then again, you know, I would have wished a lot more.
All right, let's take
more.
Okay, let's take a break. More with James Settlemyer when we come back.
The Tamarack Junction is South Reno's hotspot for food, fun, and friends. Play the hottest slots and video games. Join the Conductors Club and earn comps and free play. Meet your friends at Sully Sports Bar and feast on juicy burgers, wings, big beers, and all your favorite cocktails. Download the Tamarack Junction mobile app for exclusive food and gaming offers right from your phone. The Tamarack Junction, where friends meet in South Reno, just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
When it comes to delivering energy, a lot happens behind the scenes. NV Energy generates thousands of megawatts of energy and moves it along miles and miles of transmission and distribution lines to Nevada homes and businesses. So when you flip a switch or push a button, there are no surprises.
Through our history, the trucking industry has changed a lot. Today's environmentally compliant trucks are cleaner than ever. And through safety initiatives and technology, we've reduced the number of truck-related fatalities by 73%. This is due to the dedication of the hardworking men and women in the trucking industry, who safely deliver 69% of our nation's freight and 94% of Nevada. We thank you, because trucks move America forward.
Cowboys aren't born, they're made. Through hard work, long days, learning the ropes. Welcome to the Reno Rodeo. The wildest, richest rodeo in the West, the Reno Rodeo.
Get your tickets today.
Closed captioning of Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Nevada Trucking Association. Trucking moves America forward.
And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shand.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with State Senator James Settlemyer. So, question for you. We've got historical perspective here. How many businesses left after the Gwin tax increases?
You know, actually, I don't know that data. Maybe you guys have that information of how many businesses left.
No, but I mean, I don't recall.
But it's a completely different tax scheme, right? I mean, you're talking about a tax which is based on employees, which is a cost really that a business can control, as opposed to a gross receipts tax based on revenue, which is something, hey, if businesses could control gross receipts, everybody would have 100% increase year upon year over a year. But you can't control that. And so when you do have economic downturns, when you do have businesses that have low margins, that's a much different tax than what was passed in 2003.
And I don't disagree. I mean, that was obviously what was defeated, you know, back in 2003.
No, in 14.
Right, right.
Yeah.
But
I mean, you're right. In 14 and 2003, but you can go to recent history. Sorry.
Okay.
No, one of the things we can look at, though, is that when we had the increase in the business license fee from 100 to 200, I think we lost about 18% of the businesses decided to no longer file here in the state of Nevada. I do think it's important, though, that we look at how different we are from 2003 to 2015 now, how easy it is for businesses to pick up and move.
Okay, now are you referring to the companies that would go and register in Delaware rather than Nevada?
Correct.
So,
or Wyoming.
So do you have any idea of what the revenue was that we lost by losing 14% of those businesses, if that's the right number?
I think it was about 14-18% of them. So if you looked at the concept of $100 versus a $200, you know, that would give you the number. But again, a lot of it comes back to what we discussed earlier, that sometimes businesses are just kind of in existence. They leave their corporate businesses filed here, and they just don't care to shut it down until somebody says, by the way, we're going to increase you from $100 to $200. Then they make the decision, you know what? I think it's easy enough time now to shut down.
This was the education session. I mean, we did here. It was a tax session, but of course, as always is, we're justifying tax increases to pay for education. And when we look at all the reforms, the one that I think is probably the best thing that we did in terms of education, sure, we have Read by Three, which is a great program, but mm-hmm. I mean, I look at Scott Hammond's bill, which it's great to watch everybody else take credit for it, Senate Bill 302, the voucher bill. Do you think that is materially going to have a positive impact on competition in our public school system now?
Absolutely. I think that'll be the largest thing that will reform education in the state of Nevada, is having the ability for parents to decide to pick up that money and travel with a kid to somewhere else. I think that you'll see more opportunities for the students in the state of Nevada, whether you're in poor districts or whether you're in rich districts. It doesn't matter. I think you're going to see those opportunities, whether they be parochial schools or organizations, businesses that start up. and started having more of a concept of, okay, daycare with an educational component. And those opportunities will make the children grow and the parents being involved. You know, if you look at all the things that I've ever done, the one thing that makes the biggest difference in whether or not a student learns is parental involvement.
Okay, but let me ask you this. You know, we're currently 600 teachers short in the Clark County School District. Where are all these teachers going to come from? Are they going to come from the current system and go into a private system or go into a parochial system? Where are the companies that are going to organize this, you know, and that have a track record of success? Because you've seen a real balance in Nevada of good charter schools, but also bad charter schools.
I know, I understood. And I think it goes to that old axiom that if you build it, they will come. I think there's an opportunity for businesses now to come into the state of Nevada. We also passed a bill trying to secure more teachers for the future through the development, more money in the form of the Gwynn Millenniership Scholarship for education. We did many things, you know, from Zoom schools, full day K, victory schools, read by three, great teaching.
Did you like full day kindergarten?
Myself, I think that the concept of full day kindergarten for those students that are necessary is worthwhile. I think that it comes down, though, there are some children that are not developmentally ready for full-day kindergarten, so they don't see the benefit. I would have preferred not to go to, we don't have mandatory kindergarten, yet we have full-day kindergarten now. So it seems to be kind of a strange mix in that respect. If we truly believe in full-day kindergarten, why didn't we make it mandatory? We didn't do that. And we didn't make it mandatory, in my opinion, due to the simple fact that all the studies show that not all children benefit from full-day kindergarten or benefit from kindergarten.
All right, let's take a break. We're going to keep Senator Settlemyer around for another segment. We'll be right back.
I got to Enya from a counselor at my high school. She introduced me. We did the walkthrough. But once I did get to Enya, I really liked it. I also was able to open up with Monica and Janine a lot. And I definitely do not regret it because I know with Monica and Janine, I can go to them and they'll give me the best advice ever.
Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. What is Switch? The answer, they represent the most dynamic growth industry in the United States today. Data storage, the information of the world. Here they're building the first of many 1 million square foot facilities. It's in their new campus. It's for eBay. Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, building economic prosperity for Nevada.
The Neon Dragonfly Eclectic Boutique is located at 214 California Avenue, featuring unique gifts, fabulous hats, and our specialty women's apparel. A diverse collection of tasteful styles at affordable prices. The Neon Dragonfly, Reno's favorite eclectic boutique, across from the Nevada Museum of Art.
Ram's continued leadership is eye-opening. Like Ram 3500 with the best towing, best torque, the best payload. And Ram 1500 with the best fuel economy. It's no wonder more people are driving Ram trucks than ever before. Join us now during the Ram Drive and Discovery event.
Recent college grads can purchase and get $8,000 in total values on Ram 1500 Bighorn Crew Cab 4x2.
During July, Reno is our town. Join us as Northern Nevada celebrates the 20th spectacular season of this acclaimed festival. Art Town brings culturally enriching events to over 300,000 attendees, and over 70% of Art Town's events are free, including gallery exhibits, cultural celebrations, dance performances, music concerts, family events, and many more. So make plans to enjoy 32 days of arts and culture. Pick up your little book at Scalari's, U.S. Bank, and around town. Visit renoisarttown.com.
The Neon Dragonfly Eclectic Boutique is located at 214 California Avenue, featuring unique gifts, fabulous hats, and our specialty women's apparel. A diverse collection of tasteful styles at affordable prices. The Neon Dragonfly, Reno's favorite eclectic boutique, across from the Nevada Museum of Art.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with State Senator James Settlemyer.
Besides the tax debate and education, which did kind of take up the lion's share of the air down in the legislative building, the other bill that is kind of up there was Uber versus the taxi cabs. And you were really the leader on getting something passed for these transportation network companies. Can you tell us about those?
Yeah, the TNC's transportation network companies, the ability to enter into like a membership organization. So you download the application, you become a member of this organization, and you have the ability to get a ride or to get other services from this organization. Not only does Uber Lyft, organizations like that, not only do they deliver people, they deliver goods. There's grocery cart. There's one for dry cleaning. There's one called Uber Kitten that was down in San Francisco. I thought it was a very demonic idea. They bring your kid a kitten to play with for 20 minutes, and then either you agree to adopt it or they take the kitten away.
I rent a kitten.
Yeah, which I don't think you rent very much. So, you know, it's a tremendous opportunity for individuals to earn a little bit of money on the side. Their average driver in those industries usually drive about 10 to 14 hours a week. They just do it on the side for the ability to, you know, meet other individuals, also for the ability, of course, to make a couple dollars in their spare time.
So you were really involved in crafting the the piece of the legislation. I mean, I do want to give you a tremendous amount of credit as the chairman of the Commerce and Labor Committee. You really did try to reach out to everybody and say, all right, I'm not going to say, hey, it's Republicans against Democrats. You did really make an effort to be bipartisan. You did see that in the Uber bill. You're working with Kelvin Atkinson, where the UNLV Med School is a product of Uber now.
The funding that was created by creating a 3% excise tax on TNCs, transportation network companies, and cabs as well, will be used to help fully fund the UNLV Medical School. The money was made available through that too for the bridge funding for the small community colleges. So there were some tremendous opportunities. There was a $5 million guarantee through Senator Atkinson and myself to guarantee that road funding was available for the highway fund. So there's some great opportunities that were created through that bill. We worked across party lines and tried to make sure that we had everyone's concerns and issues addressed. We had a counter bill at the very end, a cleanup bill called 376, Senate Bill 376, that actually did some deregulation of the taxi cab industry, some things that they'd wanted, getting rid of their geographical barriers so that as it is currently right now, they get a permit and they can only function within a geographic region. Well, if you have an event that shows up, they can't go across that line, yet there's nobody that's crossed that line. That creates a problem.
All right, but I mean, will companies that currently are not able to serve McCarran Airport or the Strip be able to serve those areas now?
Correct. With the elimination of geographical barriers through Senate Bill 376, those abilities will exist. They'll have to come in through regs now, through Legislative Commission, to get the rest of those adopted. But that was worked out. Those were things and concessions that the taxi cab industry wanted. So we tried to address their legitimate issues and concerns in order to make their businesses more competitive if possible.
You know, and it was interesting because, I mean, there was already in the works an app that the Las Vegas taxi cab companies were working on. Do you think that this is going to result in an overall lowering of cost for people all the way around, whether they're taking a taxi cab or they're using a service like Uber?
I would hope so. Generally, competition does lower prices and it increases quality. That's my belief, and you know, it's always been shown that way. The interesting thing about the application you talked about down in Clark County for the utilization, currently it's only used for taxis. They do want to branch it out, make it available for, it was only for limousines. They want to branch it out for taxis, but I think the app is $10 to use the app a time, then a $5 service fee on top of that, if you use a credit card. So you're $15 just to use the app and a credit card.
And that's the same thing in Northern Nevada with taxi cabs. If you want to use a credit card in the cab, you're looking, I think, at about a $3 fee.
Yeah.
But we still saw the control of the industry of not allowing smaller companies to be able to expand without going through a very lengthy process and likely not to succeed.
Yeah, unfortunately, there was a bill that sought to try to solve some of that to allow more competition. Unfortunately, it was vetoed. We'll continue to work to try to see what we can do to help out the industry. I think competition is the best thing. It'll make things a lot better. You'll have cleaner cabs, in my opinion. You'll have cleaner vehicles for everybody. You'll lower rates.
The other thing that I thought about, too, was that the hotel casinos are going to have to figure out, and the airport, a whole new plan, because it's not going to be just simple to have another whole company like Uber, which is already, you know, ranking in hundreds, if not more, vehicles available to be able to come in and collect and drop off with the current system that the hotel casinos and the airport have in Las Vegas.
And that's specifically stated within the bills that passed the legislative building that they have to actually work with the property owner to determine an agreement. And if the property owner doesn't wish, they don't have to agree. They can just say, you know what, I don't want you picking up people for these transportation network companies at my site. That'll be their decision.
It's it's going to be interesting to see how it all works.
Well, I think it'll be working in probably about July or August 1st. We'll probably see the first transportation network companies operational again in the state of Nevada, because they did operate here for a month. And during that month, we didn't see the rapid loss of revenue that the taxi cab companies claimed. I asked them for the data, and they never were able to provide that they lost any data when they existed before.
Well, it was interesting. I took a cab just last week, and I asked the driver what he thought about this. And he said, I'm not going to panic right now. He said, I want to take a wait and see look at this thing and see how it goes. So it'll be interesting to see how it breaks out. I wanted to ask you, late last week, Bob Beers announced he was dropping out of the race for the U.S. Senate. And, you know, obviously funding was a question there. Joe Hack has considerably more money. This is going to be an interesting race.
It should be an interesting race. I was sad to see Bob Beers drop out. He's a great man. His knowledge of the budget and finances by being an accountant would have been a great asset. However, you know, Mr. Heck is a phenomenal individual, and his military background and the fact he's a doctor, you know, it'd be great to have that representation a little bit further higher up rather than a congressman as a senator.
It's going to be a great U.S. Senate race. Thank you so much for being here. We appreciate all your time today. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
I always tell our clients that our job is to move the money from the insurance companies into their hands for their injuries. That's why they're hiring us.
Go lightly in Vanna. 222-3333.
Thanks for your help anyway.
What's wrong?
Looks like we won't have dental insurance when I retire.
What?
These guys are seeing.
It's a fact. 90% of Americans today lose their dental insurance once they retire. And Medicare just doesn't cover routine dental work. If you're without coverage or soon will be, you should give us a call. Physicians Mutual Insurance Company has affordable dental insurance to help pay for the care you need. Look, even a simple checkup can cost over $100. And other services like root canals or bridges can cost you hundreds more. But for as little as a dollar a day, we can help cover more than 300 procedures. Things like cleanings, fillings, crowns, even dentures. Plus, you can see any dentist you want. There are no networks, no deductibles, and no annual maximum. Call this number now for a free information kit with all the details about this affordable dental insurance. Don't get caught without the coverage you need. Take control of your dental health. Call now.
The Summer Instant Rebate Sale from Ennis gives you instant savings. Everything is on sale. Drexel, Thomasville, Stickley, and more. This June, take advantage of instant rebates throughout our Reno showroom. With payment in full, you can save up to $1,500 instantly. Plus, all red, white, and blue clearance tag items offer double instant rebates. Visit Ennis today. Find the furniture you love and save big during our June Instant Rebate Sale.
Ennis by Furniture.
Our Town returns to Reno for its 20th anniversary celebration. Throughout July, take part in hundreds of free events. Join NBC News 4 for a special preview with Discovering Our Town 2015. Whether local art, music, or dance, get a sneak peek behind the scenes June 27th, Discovering Our Town 2015.
On our next broadcast, we start a series of shows from Las Vegas on Nevada Newsmakers. We'll see you then.